Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. Focusandfind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business the News Hour. Grateful you are listening from wherever on the planet you happen to be. I've been waiting for like 2 days to do this because I heard him speak at EntreFest in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. His name is Marcus Bullock, and he has a company called Flick Shop. What is it? Why did he do this? And everything else. And you are going to be blown away by this story from Marcus. Marcus, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here, sir.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be able to be here. It's my first time here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, so it's pretty cool to be able to meet some awesome people doing some amazing work.
So where's home?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
And you have an interesting story. Let's just get to that story.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk about Flick Shop and what that is doing to change people's lives. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, listen to what I'm saying. Change people's lives. It's an amazing story. So I'm going to shut up and tell us about you, Marcus.
Oh, no, you know, well, thank you so much. I mean, it's a blessing to be able to be here on this side of the journey and to share these kinds of stories of not only what has happened in my life and the technologies that we're building with Flick Shop, but to begin to humanize the stories and erase stigma for people that are coming out of prison cells. I'm one of those people. When I was a 15-year-old kid, my best friend and I, he was 16, I was 15 years old, and we made a horrible decision to carjack a man in a shopping mall parking lot. That decision.
That's not good.
Yeah. I mean, it was a horrible decision. It was a horrible decision. You know,
I got an idea.
One of those, you know, horrible mistakes, you know, you look back on them, was like, whose brilliant idea was it to do this? But, you know, if I'm being honest, I mean, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area when, you know, Washington, D.C. was the murder capital of the world, and none of the neighborhoods that I lived in were safe ones. There were people that were committing crimes, including myself, every single day, not even understanding that the actions that we were taking would lead to some legal ramifications that I would have never predicted. That one time that I was that I decided to make that car that I decided to commit that carjacking in Virginia and not in Washington, D.C., in a Commonwealth state of all places, that was the one that the straw that broke the camel's back. I was arrested the very next day with my best friend. And while it was only a few weeks after my 15th birthday, the judge decided to certify the both of us as adults. And that decision that I made that fatal night landed me in front of Judge Klein, and me listening to him sentence me to 8 years in adult maximum security prison. At 15 years old. My sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
So. It was a tough experience. And if I'm being honest, at the time when the sentencing happened, when the carjacking happened and the arrest and all of that, it was eye-opening for myself and my mom, because we learned very, very swiftly that the penal system was ready to accept me as an adult, and it would change our lives forever.
Hmm. All right, so now you're behind bars in a prison, and I'm sure you're angry, you're young, you're frustrated. What kept you together?
You know what? If I'm being honest, I wasn't angry.
Really?
I wasn't. When I first was arrested, I was going to high school, right? Like, my life was centered around me playing basketball, trying to figure out how to keep my name on the honor roll list so I can maintain my starting position. I was a tutor in the Benjamin Banneker Math Club, right? Like, and I'm playful with my friends. Like, the crime happened in December the 8th. So I was concerned about getting this brand new Kenneth Cole t-shirt that my girlfriend promised that she was going to buy for me for Christmas. And I was going to wear it to school after winter break. Like, that was where my brain was.
Yeah.
And so when I was arrested, I'd never transitioned out of that teenage way of thinking, right? Like, I wanted to open up Christmas gifts and go to homecoming and go to prom. Like, that was my life. You know, it was the men that were there that would even help me understand that I was being way too playful. I mean, I literally, like, would be cool with, like, playing tag in the housing unit, right? Like, that was my life. It wasn't until...
You're 15 years old.
I'm 15, right? And even when I turned 16, it was like, okay, great, I'm 16, now I can drive.
Except.
You know, right? And I thought that I was going to be on my way to the DMV to go get my driver's license. I honestly thought every weekend I was going to come home. Hmm. Never in a million years would I would believe that I was actually going to have to serve the 8 years that I got sentenced to. And so I lived in denial for those first 2 years of my prison sentence. So I wasn't angry. I was like, oh, you know, you guys are locked up, not me. Like, I'll go home in a couple of weeks. You guys are going to have to deal with whatever, uh-huh, you know, you're dealing with. But, you know, my mom and my lawyers, they'll talk to some judge and they'll figure it out. You know, I'll get out in a couple of weeks. And then, you know, 2 weeks turned into 6 months. 6 months turned into 2 years. And then about 2 years in, it smacked me in the face that, holy crap, I'm really going to have to serve there. All 8 of these years.
Marcus, I'm just stunned, first of all, as a 15-year-old, but I really want to get now into what it was, and you spoke about this at AntraFest the other day, what it was that kind of clicked with you about connecting with people on the outside.
You know, it was interesting. When I did realize that I was going to have to serve all 8 of those years, and that only came as a result of me having friends that were also there that were a lot older than me. One of my best friends, Danny B, he was in his mid-50s. You know, I was joking about it at AntraFest. Like, prison is one of the only places where you can be like a 17-year-old kid and like your best friend is in his mid-50s. And we would talk every day. But I never really understood how long people were there, right? They were there as long as I was there in my mind. But when I asked him how long he had been incarcerated, he had told me he had already served 31 years. And that's when I just literally, it crippled me, because I realized at that moment I would have to serve all 8 of my years. If they would make Danny B serve 31, then clearly they would make me serve all 8 of mine. And that's when I went from that same playful, happy-go-lucky Marcus to now it started to settle in. And then I became, as you alluded to, angry is probably an understatement.
Right. All right, we're going to fast forward a little bit because we do have limited time, but this is a great story, and we will hook you up with Marcus and his website as well. So let's go down the road. You indicated during your presentation the other day that your mother kept in touch with you constantly, that she's a source of inspiration for you, the person that kind of kept you together. And then you get out. And then you get how difficult is it with a person with a felony record to get a job?
You know what? You're absolutely right. Once that crippling moment started to happen to me in prison, my mom, she made a promise to me to write a letter and send me a picture every day from that day forward for the rest of my prison sentence. And so it kept me connected to her in a very interesting way, because people in prison don't receive mail. They don't have the connections back to their loved ones because there's no real technologies that are allowed in there from a security standpoint. And so when I was released in 2004, I had connections back to the community that no one else had. I had connections back to my mom and my family in a very interesting way. And even though I was ready to go come home and, you know, just win, there were some other barriers, like, you know, having to check the box to say I was a convicted felon that just served 8 years in prison on job applications. There were the same box was on, you know, my college admissions applications. And so it precluded me from having the opportunities that I dreamt about for those 8 years as I thought about what it would look like to come home and to succeed. And after a few of those applications, probably more than a few, 41 to be exact, on the 42nd, one of those applications asked me with a comma, have you been convicted of a felony, comma, within the last 7 years? I had just served an 8-year prison sentence, so the answer was absolutely not. No, I didn't. I haven't been convicted of a felony within the last 7 years. And that landed me on my first job.
Wow. And then you were in the painting business, and you were selling paint, and you were making good buck doing that. But then something else changed in your life. And you came to a realization, and I want to go back to your mother, because your mother was writing you a letter every day and also sending pictures. All of a sudden, something connected with you Is that accurate?
It was interesting. Once I got that first job at the paint store, my life changed for the better. I was able to turn that job at a paint store into a painting business where I would became the conduit between the customers who wanted to get their homes painted and the painters who were looking for consistent work. And when we launched this painting company that allowed me to broker these kinds of projects, I had the resources now to be able to figure out how to solve the same problem that a lot of families have, like my mom, when their loved one is incarcerated. I wanted to be able to figure out how to connect them back the same way that my mom did with me. And it led me to a Googling search on how to build a mobile application, because I thought that would be the easiest way to be able to figure out how to connect families.
Even though you can't have a cell phone in
prison.
Yeah.
You can't have a cell phone in prison. There's no cell phones, no, you know, Facebook or Instagram or texting or easy emailing, because the majority of the people in the majority of the facilities only have access to physical, tangible mail. I had to figure out a way to take digital photos and, you know, digitize letters and create real tactile printouts. And we did that with what now has become Flickshop.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I know. Okay. So you're sitting there, you're going, okay, wait a minute. I take pictures all the time with my phone. I share them with my friends. But the question is, have you ever tried to get that picture printed?
I mean, that is the barrier, right? It's like, you know, I was taking all of these photos on the vacations that I would go on as a result of this newly found success in this construction company that I was building now. I got married, you know, we were on our way to having our first child. And my friends that I grew up with in those prison cells, they wanted those pictures. They wanted to see all of them, just like we share them on a Facebook or Instagram. And there was no way for me to be able to send them those. And so...
Unless you had them printed. How
do you print a picture from your cell phone, right? It's like that, like who does that? And in fact, not only do you have to print the picture, but you also have to go find the actual physical envelope. And then I got to go Google an address. And then I have to make it to the post office to buy postage. All of those steps typically land on, I'm going to send it tomorrow. And then tomorrow turns into 3 weeks, 3 weeks turns into 6 months, and then families stay disconnected the way I was becoming disconnected with my friends.
And then Flick Shop was born. Yeah. All right. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of what is Flick Shop, Marcus.
Our users are able to download the Flick Shop app out of the mobile app store, and so in the iOS and Google Play stores. The Flick Shop app allows you to be able to have the ability to take a picture, add some quick text. Hey, you know, big bro, I miss you. I'll see you soon. Press send on that message in that photo. And then Flickshop, we take that picture and that text and we print it for you on a real tangible postcard, affixiate some postage on it for you, throw it in the mail, and in 2 to 3 days, your loved one down the street is going to receive it directly in their cell.
What would that mean to people who are not connected with family and friends who are on the inside?
You know, that's a great question. Every day at 4 p.m. in jails and prisons all around the country, there's a thing that happens, and it's called mail call. That's the moment that you're being signaled that someone on the other side of those fences cares about you. And I mean, we're talking about people that are sitting inside of the same room, wearing the same clothes, looking at the same walls, and the same people for years and sometimes even decades on end. So there's no new fresh content that comes in, right? Like my sale partner, he told me every story that he could possibly tell me. I mean, I can tell him, I know the story of you falling off your bike when you were in sixth grade, right? Like I know that story. Don't tell me that story again. I already know it. It's like an old married couple, you know? And so there's no fresh content. So when you hear your name called at mail call and saying that someone thought about you to send you a message, it means the absolute world. I tell people all the time, getting mail in prison is like hitting the lottery.
Hmm. Marcus Bullock, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. The business is a pretty amazing thing. Flick Shop is what it is, and we will have, of course, links to wherever that is on our radio blog. All right, so now you've created this way in which folks on the outside can communicate with folks on the inside visually, which is very important, as you can watch kids grow up.
Absolutely.
And people graduating from whatever.
Yeah.
Things that folks on the outside take for granted, but folks on the inside have no clue. What has this done? Let's talk about going to jail, recidivism, And the issue that is behind, really, Flick Shop.
You know, one of the problems that we, you know, started to see, especially as I came home and started to, you know, I'm starting these successful businesses, things are going well for me in my life. But I would meet family members who would either leverage our technology or just have a conversation about their loved ones, because I come from neighborhoods where incarceration is real. I mean, it's really a real thing, and it happens more times than not in families across these, you know, these communities. And when I noticed that there were people that were coming out of these cells and returning back, the question I asked myself, how do we prevent that from happening? What is the thing, what is the trigger that's going to keep someone accountable and willing to be able to do as much as they possibly can to stay out when they come out, right? The recidivism rates are 76% right now in the United States. That means that out of the 600,000 people that are coming home from these cells every year, you're talking about over 400,000 of them are going right back within 3 years, right? That's an alarming rate. And we wanted to figure out a way to be able to reduce that number. And we believe that family connectivity and love and empathy and humanizing that journey can potentially shift that. I saw it happen in the social platforms as Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok, they continue to evolve. And I saw families being reconnected with their loved ones in other states and other countries and having information available to them at their fingertips. It allowed for them to be able to see what the possibilities were of their future. And we believe that this small micro dose of love could do the same exact thing for the millions of people in prison.
We talk about all kinds of things that have to do with criminal justice reform. And one of the issues is obviously people going back to jail time after time after time, oftentimes because the economics of their life,
absolutely,
they can't get it fixed.
Yeah.
Because if you click that little box that says, yeah, I've been a felon,
what do you do with that?
What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I came home. I mean, there's documentation that supports that there are over 4,000 collateral consequences that come along with incarceration. It's not just you missing your family. I mean, it's you not being able to get a job. You know, you can't live in certain communities. And if you live in where I own a condo, my condominium, my HOA, they says that if you have a felony conviction, you aren't even supposed to be able to own a condo here. Right? On my son's basketball team, where he plays AAU basketball, I can't be an assistant coach on his team because I have a felony conviction. When my daughter wants to go on a field trip with her school, I can't ride the school bus with the children because I have a felony conviction. Right? All of these barriers have been erected for this community of people who don't have the same opportunities and privilege that, you know, others have. And we wanted to be able to figure out, one, how to be able to at least, one, solve the problem to help keep them out of prison, and then bring access to potential jobs and housing opportunities from folks who are being thoughtful about this and want to figure out how to overturn it. And then two, we wanted to leverage the story of impact and love and empathy inside of my advocacy work that allows us to be able to have conversations around legislation changes that need to happen in order for people to come home and lead meaningful lives.
And this has morphed. All of this has morphed because while you're sending postcards, 2, 5, 10, 10,000, 20,000. I mean, you've got to manage that issue.
Yeah. That's a lot of postcards we've sent. I mean, we've sent, what, almost 700,000 postcards into over 3,000 facilities.
And that's just that.
Yeah.
But you got some other things going on over here on the side that helps fund a lot of this and bring angels along to be assistive. Let's talk about that.
Flick Shop became the Trojan horse. We knew that we had to find the least common denominator for people to understand the power behind the work that we were doing. The postcards were the first entrant into that. It allowed us to be able to humanize and storytell around the importance of keeping families connected, mostly because all of us double tap when we see a cute dog or puppy or a funny meal, a meal that our friend posted on social media. We get it. We understand that connectivity means something to us all. But now, what it does is it opens up the door to have a new conversation about what does it mean for the people that we're actually connecting? We understand that we need to connect them, but what does that mean for the connections, right? And then now we begin to have a conversation around what love and empathy could look like, what support can look like, and what does that mean for the people? And then we start thinking about, well, it's not just the family members who need the love. What about the members of the community that have never met someone with a felony conviction that's typically probably either fearful of the people coming back to their neighborhoods that have a felony conviction or just simply have no idea how to communicate advocate simply because they think that the felony conviction makes you this monster. Like people are coming home from prison and want to eat their babies or something. I don't know. And so if we knew that, if we figured out a way to be able to shift that narrative, then we would be able to help impact the employers' lives and the HR departments that are being thoughtful about bringing new talent to their companies. These are people that are coming home from their sales that are probably going to be the most loyal people ever on your teams, simply because they don't want to mess up and lose that opportunity of a job, because most people don't have the blessing of a job when they come home after prison, right? We wanted to make sure that the housing developers knew that it's nothing wrong with having people with a felony conviction living in these communities. We wanted to let college and universities know, hey, listen, the next wave of entrepreneurs or marketing specialists, or, you know, the next, you know, maybe even clinical professor at your college can potentially be someone that has a felony conviction on their record. And if we did our jobs right, then it allow us to be able to, one, create a revenue-driving product that allows us to continue to have impact in our community, right, which is amazing from the business standpoint. But now it allowed us to be able to build out other tools like the Flickshop School of Business, where we're intentional about training people that are coming out of these sales into the spaces of entrepreneurship, mostly because it is hard to get a job. And entrepreneurship typically would be the most successful path for these people that are coming out of these sales. It also allowed us to be able to launch Flickshop Angels that gives the opportunity for these children, which are the unseen victims. Those are the unseen victims of crimes, the children of someone who's incarcerated. And the community can purchase Flickshop credits as a Flickshop angel, and we give those Flickshop credits to children so that they can send mom and dad as many funny face selfies as they want completely for free.
And all of this starts, Marcus, to maybe starts to fight against bias.
Absolutely. We're erasing stigma with every single postcard that we ship. And that's something that I'm really, really proud of. I'm not just for the family members who leverage our technology in order to be able to stay connected, but what it means for the community that says, you know what, I spent $10 yesterday and I gave a kid some Flickshop credits, and their parents now are attached to them and they have love that's coming and flowing to their sales every day, right? Like the families are injecting love, the community is injecting love, our employers are injecting love. And we believe that love can be the vaccine for this mass incarceration era.
Let's talk about some real issues that you've seen become resolved.
Yeah.
Because you got to have a story or two about somebody whose light bulb went off and they say, oh, wait a minute, you know, hiring a person with a felony conviction, mm-hmm. or supporting somebody or assisting them in their college education, not just by handouts, but actually giving them employment,
yeah.
and opportunity.
Yeah.
Tell us a story about that.
I mean, I have tons of them. I have, you know, the local guys in Washington, D.C. One of my best friends, Robert. Robert, he came home from prison after serving over 24 years enrolled in our Flickshop School of Business class. After, you know, spending 3 weeks with us and inside of that class, he was now equipped to take some of the skills that he learned there, centered around sales and presentations, how to articulate yourself and bring value to the back into the community. And he took it on a job application, interview with him to Joseph Banks Clothiers. It was a suit store. You know, where he was able to, you know, now get a job that was way above, you know, was above minimum wage. So it was sustainable for him and his family. It gave him a springboard and confidence that he can come back out of prison after serving over 24 years and take that same love and that comfort and his smooth talking and learning how his fancy way of tying these crazy knots with these bow ties.
Yeah, right.
And he was dressing these men. I mean, these corporate people that were coming in and buying 5 and 6 suits at a time, they became, you know, he became their stylist.
Right.
Right. And so now they're calling him and they're texting him, hey, Robert, I want to buy some more suits from you. Can you give me an idea of what I should wear to my nephew's wedding? Right. And it gave Robert something that he can go back to his community and talk to his friends about. And now we had people applying back to the FSB program, the Flickshop School of Business, just to say, hey, look, I need to do what Robert did. I don't know how he did it, but he's come home and served all this time, and now he's living his life. Today, Robert sits on a legal counsel as one of the legal counsel folks at a local nonprofit in D.C., and he's doing an incredible job. He just sent me a picture of his brand new baby sitting in the backseat of his brand new BMW, and he's so excited about it. But then you have the larger companies like Slack, who are one of our customers. Slack, they have a Fair Chance hiring practice, and they send thousands of postcards to people in prisons in California that are enrolled inside of these coding programs where people in prison are learning how to write code, which is really amazing because they're learning how to write code on pencil and paper and chalkboard.
Because they don't have anything.
They don't even have internet. I don't even know how that even happens, but this is, you know, this is something that I'm really impressed with. While Slack is intentional about sending these postcards, we've seen three people coming directly out of Pelican Bay State Prison working in a quality assurance department in one of the largest tech unicorns in the country, and that's something that we're really, really proud of.
Wow. It is a fascinating story. I have to ask you one more. I know we're way over time, but that's okay, because I'm really invested in this story with Marcus. Tell us about your co-conspirator.
My best friend, Dwayne. He was Reginald Dwayne Betts is his name.
And this is the guy who carjacked with you, but he was 16.
He was 16. I was 15. He was a junior in high school. We went to the same high school. We played on the same basketball team. He today is now finishing up his PhD program at Yale Law, where he's the top student in his class. He has several books. His first book was an award-winning book, won 7 awards, including an NAACP Image Award, where it talked about he and I's arrest. It's called A Question of Freedom. And I'm really excited about, you know, what's happening in his life. What it does is it signals to the community that there's so much brilliance that is sitting inside of these cells, right? I'm not an anomaly. I'm not a unicorn. What I want to do is I want to help provide the community with the same social capital and resources that I was blessed to be able to have, whether it be from my mom or my church or some of the members in my community that were being thoughtful and intentional about wanting to see people come out of these prison cells and win. Like, what is happening around the country and how we sweep that kind of narrative, I think, is going to be key when we think about criminal justice reform.
His name is Marcus Bullock. His company is called Flick Shop. And we will have, of course, links to all of that up on the radio blog. Marcus, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here.
And there you have it, the amazing story of Marcus Bullock and his startup called Flick Shop. Yes, we do have links to Marcus's business, Flick Shop, up on the radio blog. How about that? How to reduce the stigma of two words, convicted felon. And then all the offshoots. It's an amazing story. All right, we've got to go. That wraps it up for today for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Marcus Bullock, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.